your FM stereo dial.
Stardate July 16th. Last April, the U.S. Department of Commerce and the Earth Observation Satellite Company signed a contract to build the next Landsat satellite. It's scheduled for launch in June of 1991. The oldest operating Landsat, Landsat No. 4, was launched on today's date in the year 1982. It's one of two Landsats still working. Landsats are remote sensing or Earth observation satellites. They continually map the Earth. Their orbits take 99 minutes and are at an almost vertical slant to the equator so that they wind around Earth much the way you'd wind string into a ball. Their cameras record changes taking place in our planet's environment, showing, for example, how the desert overtakes more of Africa each year and how cities transform the face of the Earth. Landsat was originally a government program, but it was turned over to a private corporation 3 years ago. Images produced by Landsat are for sale. They're used to search for resources like oil and natural gas, and to study changes in crop growth. Landsat once had the remote sensing market to itself, but now competition has developed. France now has its own Earth imaging satellite called Spot. Spot 1 was successfully launched in February of 1986, and the French plan to launch another one within the next year. The Soviet Union also now sells images from its Earth observation satellites. Communication satellites are first, but Earth observation satellites like Landsat and Spot are second in being the most profitable industry so far derived from space activities. For July 16th, that's Stardate. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in...
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Ring damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Oh,
return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Powell.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
You make the change. You rearrange me till I'm the same.
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
So disconnect me. Come on, I dare you.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
I can say this honestly. None of these voices scare me anymore. Used to be, I'd be terrified to hear this. That's why I always sounded kind of,
Sorry, we're having difficulties.
See, that used to tear me right apart. I always would sound kind of uncertain when I first came on the air after hearing all these nasty voices with their threats and foreign languages and things. But, no more. I've been through it all, and I'm strong. Of course, the music is kind of scary, but, it's going to end soon. It's after 10 o'clock on a Saturday night, and you're attuned in to Brain Damage. And if this is the first time in your life you found yourself face-to-face with Brain Damage, stay tuned. We're going to be here till midnight. I'm Eric Corley, and we'll be taking your phone calls at 632-6901, area code 516. And I've been away for a couple of weeks, not actually formally away, just not here on Saturday nights. 2 weeks ago, I went up to Maine, great state of Maine. You know, it's way up there. It's, I guess, the most northeasterly state you could possibly be in. And I went up there, actually, on kind of a whim to see the Grateful Dead, which is something I've never done before. And, well, of course, this is the topic for a whole other show, but let's just say I saw quite a bit more than what I had bargained for, and it was an experience and a half, maybe even three experiences. I'm still sort of compiling it all. But, last week I was out on a social occasion, a wedding to be exact. In fact, I even tried to call this program, but for some reason our phones wouldn't allow that, and nobody could hear what I was saying, except me. And I wasn't really saying all that much anyway, so it didn't really matter. But I am here this week. This week I am here live in the studio, no question about it. And boy, is the studio hot today. Of course, the studio is always hot when the summer comes along. But it's really pretty hot today. What is it? 30 degrees inside the studio. That's 86. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried doing what you do when it's 86 degrees inside. That's we've got these fans going. We've got fans all over the place. Somebody was nice enough to install a fan like every 3 feet, and they make lots of noise. See if I can move the microphone over to.
Yeah.
you're not kidding there.
Whoa. I just knocked the radio that we listen to our own station on, down onto the console here. Oh, well, it was a cheap one anyway. But, yes, we have fans all over the place. They are going, trying, not very successfully, to keep us cool. Outside, it's probably more relevant, 22 degrees. Now, that's kind of significant because 2 minutes ago it was 24 degrees, both of those, of course, being on the Celsius scale. Now, why, you may ask, is the temperature dropping so fast? Well, I've done some research on the matter, and it seems we have a condition outside, a situation, as they say, an event in the making. And what, you may ask, is that we have a severe thunderstorm watch in effect till 2 a.m., that means that there's people out there right now, people who are paid for this, that are sitting outside, watching the skies, waiting for a thunderstorm to show up. Shocking but true. Yes, there are people out there watching for thunderstorms, and they will be doing this until 2 o'clock in the morning, at which time somebody will ring a bell or something, and they'll come back inside. Now, we understand that when they do this, they tend to see some thunderstorms, and if they do see one, they kind of pull it in so that it blankets the area with, well, of course, rain is a possibility. There's lightning, and did I mention the rain? Yes, rain, lightning, and thunder, which is all connected to the lightning, and high winds, too. In fact, the Associated Press was nice enough to send over a piece explaining just what a thunderstorm is. Thunderstorms may be accompanied by strong, locally damaging wind gusts, very heavy downpours, and frequent dangerous lightning. If you're driving in a car, be cautious and avoid driving into areas where water covers the road, of course. in the middle of a thunderstorm, water is everywhere, but if you see a lake ahead or something, don't drive into it. If you're caught outside, find shelter from the weather in a strong building. Knock on the door and say, is this a strong building, or is this one of those buildings that will fall apart as soon as you touch it? Damaging wind, large hail, very heavy rain, and deadly lightning are all possible in severe thunderstorms, as are panic buying, looting, and shoplifting. Stay inside, away from windows, until the storm has passed. Windows can be deadly. Do not look at the thunderstorm. Do not think about the thunderstorm. Do not talk about it, even after it's over, because you'll be causing trouble if you do. Although the storms may not be quite as powerful as they said they were earlier, they will still be strong enough to cause locally strong, gusty winds, very heavy downpours, and frequent lightning. Associated Press likes to repeat themselves because sometimes people don't hear it the first time. Remember, all lightning can be dangerous. But we like to say here at USB, lightning can be your friend if you simply allow it to be. Lightning is misunderstood by many people. These thunderstorms should especially affect parts of New Jersey. I don't think we have many listeners there. Sussex, Warren counties, I don't even know what those are. Morris and Hunterdon counties. Pretty silly names if you ask me, but we don't have to worry about offending anyone there because they can't hear us. They should then continue across ugly interior North Jersey, but probably dissipate rapidly, as most things do when they go across interior North Jersey. Now, if you're out driving again, please be cautious. Avoid driving through flooded roadways. And if outdoors, God knows why you'd be outdoors walking around in the street at a night like this. It's kind of, it's kind of nice right now. It's just getting kind of windy. But if you're outdoors, be alert for threatening weather or threatening people. Be prepared to take shelter. Take it by force if you must. Now, our forecast, again, a severe thunderstorm watch is in effect till 2 a.m. It will be warm and humid with variable cloudy. My goodness. Who are they hiring here? I'll read you what it says. It says, variable cloudians, that's incredible, with haze and patchy fog, 30% chance of a thunderstorm or two, and I guess if you carry that along, it's a 20% chance of three thunderstorms, and a less than significant chance of four or more thunderstorms. So a 30% chance of a thunderstorm or two. I'm not quite sure how he can have the same percent of a chance of two thunderstorms as he do for one. Maybe somebody who understands math can call me up and ask me or tell me about that. The low tonight will be in the low 70s, with southwest winds around 10 miles per hour, with chance of gusts in thundershower. Is that English? That's how you speak English? Chance of gusts in thunder shower? Sounds like I'm in some foreign continent somewhere. Ah, thunderstorm come. It be big. Yow. Sunday, quite warm and humid. Variable cloudiness and hazy. 40% chance of thunderstorms. High 85 to 90. A little lower near the ocean. And much lower inside the ocean. Wind south 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts in thunderstorms. That's a little bit better. Not much. Sunday night, warm and muggy. That's a word I haven't heard in a while. Variable cloudiness and hazy with patchy fog. 30% chance of a thunder shower or two. Here we go again. Low in mid-70s. And for Monday, looking way ahead, becoming partly sunny and hot. As opposed to what? It's been hot for the last 10 years, it seems. High 90 to 95, except lower near the ocean and over the Twin Forks. So if you want to keep cool, get a couple of forks and hold them up in the air and it will be cooler. Now let's look around the country. That is figuratively, of course, looking at the piece of paper that tells us what's going on in other parts of the country. In Atlanta, partly cloudy conditions tomorrow with highs of 96. Yes, Jesse, we'll be sweating tomorrow. 96 degrees in Atlanta. Boston, we're expecting haze and 93 degrees. Chicago, sunny and 83. Cincinnati, partly cloudy and 92. Let's go to Honolulu. Sunny and 90. Where else do you want to go? Los Angeles, 89 degrees and hazy. Washington, 100 degrees and sunny. The high today was 104 in Washington. Other cities that broke 100 today were Detroit, 102, and Cleveland with 100. And Seattle is sunny, temperature of 79 degrees. I'll tell you, it's something else. Well, let's take a look at the news of the day. And if you want to give us a call, this is a call-in program. We'd like to hear from you, our listeners, or listener, as the case may be. Give us a call, area code 516-632-6901. And we'll go to some phone calls right after the news. So just let that phone ring. You won't be charged a cent until we pick up the phone. 632-6901. Okay, let's take a look at the news. Democratic fence menders are busy this evening trying to patch things up between the Dukakis and Jackson camps. Advisors to nominee apparent. Do you pronounce that nominee apparent? Sounds like one of those neat words you can do a lot with. Anyway, advisors to Michael Dukakis and Jesse Jackson began meeting early this morning and will continue throughout the night. One Dukakis confidant, is another one of those words, calls the sessions a very good start to the convention and the fall campaign. Jackson's comment on the unity talks, better late than never. There have been indications the two candidates would meet tomorrow, but Dukakis sources now say they doubt that'll happen before the convention opens on Monday. Jackson's bus caravan rolled into Atlanta this evening. He told several thousand cheering supporters, "When I win, you win." Although there are peace talks between the Jackson and Dukakis forces, convention officials say Jackson backers have picked up petitions to challenge the vice presidential nomination of Senator Lloyd Bentsen. While the Democrats are preparing for the start of their convention, George Bush is looking for a big one. The GOP's likely standard bearer is fishing in Wyoming with his friend and advisor, Treasury Secretary James Baker. NASA, remember them, they say a gas leak on the space shuttle Discovery could delay resumption of flights, that is, by as much as 2 months. Two more months, we should say. Technicians today found what they believe may be the source of gas seeping from the shuttle's maneuvering rockets. A space agency spokesman says if Discovery has to be removed from the launch pad for repairs, they're just going to give up the whole damn thing. Now, they said the planned September liftoff could be pushed back by 2 months. But believe me, they're one step away from saying that. The Contras say the political winds may be shifting toward a resumption of military aid to the Nicaraguan rebels. Contra leader Adolfo Calero says the chances of new help from Washington increased immensely with Managua's recent political crackdown. Calero, who's in the Dominican Republic for a meeting of the Contra leadership, says the cutoff of U.S. weapons has reduced pressure on the Sandinista regime to negotiate. Iran, according to a report, may have been behind this past week's attack on a Greek cruise ship. U.S. News and World Report cites Mideast intelligence sources as saying Tehran controls a new underground group nicknamed Spider. The report says the gunmen botched their first assignment to attack a U.S. merchant vessel, then boarded the Greek ship when it came into view. 9 people were killed aboard the city of Paros. Secretary of State Schultz says he's confident that North Korea will not stage attacks at the Seoul Olympics. Schultz, who's in South Korea, says he's been assured by his Soviet counterpart that North Korea will not try to disrupt the games. They've got something else in mind. A blazing 100-yard dash by Carl Lewis today bodes well for a U.S. medal at the Olympics. Lewis, the 84 gold medal winner, ran the fastest time ever in the event at the U.S. Olympic trials in Indianapolis, but wind prevented his 9.76-second mark from being recorded as a new world record. I wonder why. What would the wind have to do with not recording it? Unless the piece of paper they were writing on blew away or something. Half the city, final story here, half the city, actually two more stories, half the city of Council Bluffs, Iowa, has been sealed off by National Guardsmen trying to prevent looting in the wake of yesterday's tornadoes. At least 10,000 homes were damaged in the twisters that slammed into Council Bluffs and Omaha, Nebraska. It's one thing we have to be thankful for, we don't have tornadoes. Yes, I know I shouldn't have said that. Dozens of Dakota Sioux Indians have completed a month-long march to a quarry in Pipestone, Minnesota, where their ancestors carved sacred pipes. Boy, that must have been something to see. I wonder how they got their ancestors to do that. They're demanding, these Sioux are demanding the return of the quarry from the government. Our government, I assume. Well, a couple of local, sort of state items. 4 people remain hospitalized today after an elevator they were riding in at a SUNY Oneonta dormitory plunged 4 stories and crashed. 2 of the victims, Gary Roos and his daughter Danielle, were transferred to Albany Medical Center where they're listed in fair condition. The other 2 victims, Jack Seeley and Joseph Green, remained at Fox Hospital in Oneonta in stable condition. Authorities say the key-operated elevator dropped to the bottom floor and crashed about 3 p.m. yesterday. You know, it's something that's always troubled me about elevators. You never really know. People say elevators are safe, but how do you know that? Especially these ones in high-rise buildings. What is it physically that prevents them from falling? I try not to think about things like that, but boy, I tell you, sometimes it bugs me. Not only that, though, authorities say a freak change in wind conditions forced down 4 hot air balloons participating in a Western New York air show today and seriously injured 12 balloonists. The balloonists were injured when they attempted to make emergency landings in the Allegheny County community of Wellsville. State police say they fell 400 to 600 feet per minute during wind gusts of up to 35 knots. None of the injuries were life-threatening, but a Canadian woman suffered a spinal injury and was transported by helicopter to University Hospital in London, Ontario. Authorities say several other people suffered broken bones and bruises. And that is the news here on WUSB in Stony Brook. And now, if any of our listeners want to call in with their comments, quotes, and criticisms, and all that kind of thing, 632-6901 is our phone number, area code 516. Yeah, I knew it couldn't last. There were some people on the phone ringing away, but they lost patience as all these long news stories were coming over. Tell you, you got to be patient in this world. You just have to stick in there. Anyway, I'm done now. I'm ready to take your call. 632-6901. There's nothing standing in the way here. I'm just sitting here. I don't have anything more to say. And there's nobody on the phone. Come on, pick up the phone. 632-6901. Because I'm going to do something else soon. And then you'll have to wait for a long time again. And, you know, it's no good to get all upset about these things. I see. Okay, well, that's the way you want to be? Fine. No problem. No problem. There's plenty to talk about here without listener input. Plenty to talk about. The heat. Yes, we can talk about the heat again. It's 22 degrees. It hasn't fallen anymore. We're expecting severe thunderstorms. In fact, maybe we have severe thunderstorms already. Maybe our phone lines have been knocked down. Maybe the world's been destroyed and I'm just sitting here talking to myself. Well, what do you know? A call. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hey, I've been thinking about this thing about the chance of one storm being the same as the chance of 2 storms.
Yeah.
And what the catch is that what they mean is they mean one and only one storm or 2 storms. So So if you were saying the chance of there being at least one storm was the same as the chance of being two storms, that would be pretty silly. But if the chance of there being at least one storm can be the same as the chance of there being two storms...
Or so close that it doesn't really make a difference. But what I was curious about was three or four storms. Now, I assume the odds go down significantly then.
Well, no, because just think of it this way. You think of it... they do, actually. Yeah.
It makes sense. I mean, they should.
Well, they should if they're independent, but it might be sort of the thing, whereas... If one storm occurs with a certain probability, then it makes it equally probable that either no more storms will occur or one, two, three, four or more storms will occur. And then if one of those occurs, then it's the same thing happens. You get like a series of probabilities. So you can contrive it so that it worked out that way, but...
Well, how about improbabilities? You know, I've always...
Have you read, do you read JIR?
Excuse me?
Journal of Irreproducible Results?
No, I haven't looked at that.
You should look at it. They've got a lot of interesting things that might amuse you. And they had one thing a while ago, something about the conservation of improbability, but I can't remember what it was about.
Uh-huh.
But anyway.
The improbability of life in this universe, for one thing.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know how improbable it really is.
Uh-huh. Well, from what I see around me, it seems pretty improbable, but I hope we'll be proved wrong.
Well, it doesn't really matter, does it, I mean?
Not really. Well, thanks very much for calling.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
All right.
632-6901. That's our telephone number. And if you want to talk about something that's really been kind of on my mind recently, and I think it's been on everyone's mind, look at these beaches around us. What in the world is going on? Things washing up on shore? Everywhere you look? New Jersey, Brooklyn, Queens, Nassau, Suffolk. I mean, what have we done? What have we done to the water, to the beaches, to the sky, to the air, to the land? And to ourselves. Oh, it's sad. Let's look at New York Times today. Syringes and other waste continue to keep swimmers away from some beaches on the Jersey Shore, on Staten Island and Long Island Sound. Long Island Sound? That's a new one. I thought it was just the South Shore. Most of the beaches reopened since midweek remained open yesterday. One exception was Lighthouse Point Park Beach in New Haven. That's in Connecticut, New Haven, which was closed Thursday because of medical debris and syringes floating in the water. It had been reopened yesterday morning, only to be shut down in mid-afternoon when the tide brought in two more syringes. All you have to do is go out on a boat, drop two syringes into the water, and you can close down an entire beach. I bet that's what people are doing. This is like the Tylenol scare. I didn't ever realize how hard that was to say. Well, don't do that. Don't go out on boats with syringes. That's not righteous. I mean, it's summertime. If we can't enjoy the beaches now, we'll never be able to. Although I like walking on the beaches in the winter when there's nobody else around. That's the best time. Alan Buzzetti, who is the principal environmental sanitarian in the Department of Health Services in Connecticut, said the syringes found earlier could well have been discarded by drug abusers. A check in the morning failed to turn up any more, he reported. In West Haven, which also closed its beach Thursday after material identified as hospital waste washed ashore, the beach itself was restored to sunbathers. Swimming still was not permitted yesterday, but the town's acting health director, Raymond Puslis, strange name that is, he said he hoped bathers would find the welcome signs back out for the weekend. On the Jersey Shore in Monmouth County, health officials reopened beaches in Avon, Bradley Beach, and Asbury Park, north of Sunset Avenue. They had been closed on Wednesday. Swimmers were not yet allowed yesterday on the beach south of Sunset Avenue in Asbury Park and in Ocean Grove because of persistent water pollution. Although sunbathing was permitted, spilled sewage was blamed for the closings, resulting in high coliform bacteria counts and grease balls washing up. Grease balls. Something to collect and show your grandkids. I lived through the greasy 80s. Local officials indicated that sewage pipes along the shore may have been overflowing. As long as they have a good explanation for it. Last summer, when New Jersey beaches were closed by garbage slicks, officials were nearly unanimous in accusing illegal dumpers of New York City garbage. And two Staten Island beaches, Midland and South, remained closed yesterday. We have continued to find medical waste today, said Barry Atkin, a spokesman for the city's health department. including some syringes and other medical debris like pill bottles. He said, "We believe the majority has washed up on shore as the result of some illegal dumping." Mr. Atkins said it had not been established exactly where the debris originated, but he said, "It does look like it's coming from a medical facility." He said investigators were weighing the possibility that a single illegal spill was involved and that the situation at the two beaches was being monitored. Now, have any of our listeners been involved in this? Have they gone to beaches that have been closed? Smith's Point was closed last week. I believe Jones Beach, a little before then. I'm not sure about any North Shore beaches on Long Island. I don't believe so. But if you've been involved, or if you have any comments or thoughts on the matter, give us a call, 632-6901. This is a serious matter. When you can't go to the beaches anymore, I mean, that's one of the selling points of Long Island, of the whole northeastern corridor. So, we have to care. What is the answer? What do we do? How do we fix this situation? Where do we put our garbage? How could we have avoided this? 632-6901. I also have a bit of an article from Newsday. Unfortunately, I only clipped the first part of it. I didn't see that it got continued on another page. All of the state's medical facilities, from the one physician office to large hospitals, could be required to follow the state's stringent infectious waste disposal laws under a proposal hammered out yesterday by legislators and the governor's office. Meanwhile, State Department of Environmental Conservation officials said they hope to pinpoint the source of the needles and blood vials and other waste that washed onto Long Island beaches last week. "We are getting closer to originating the source," said Madeline Lewis, a DEC spokeswoman. "We are hoping to be able to pinpoint it through leads we have from talking with people and identifying marks on materials found." She said she could not elaborate. The state health department also released a list of items officials collected from the beaches last week. In releasing the list, Bill Fagel, a health department spokesman, repeated that the waste probably did not come from a medical facility. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, this is Sammy Johnson?
Excuse me?
Sammy Johnson. I call you every week, Eric. How you been?
Hey, how are you? Sammy Johnson, huh?
Yeah.
I don't think you ever gave your name before.
You went on vacation?
Well, no, I wasn't really on vacation, per se. I just was away and not here.
Someone said you were stuck up on an expressway, and I went up to the expressway, and you weren't there.
Well, I was. I did call last week from the rest stop at the expressway. You know where the little train sits?
That's like a weird place. People meet each other there.
Yeah, I saw a couple of things going on there, but I'd rather not talk about that.
You know?
Yeah.
I call that clinic line. I call all the 800 numbers, because I just got a phone.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. Wait a minute. If you just got a phone, well, how were you calling us before?
No, I don't mean just got a phone. I just got a phone, so I use it.
Oh, okay.
Kind of stuff. Especially 800 numbers. If you call 800 numbers, you can talk to people like in Nebraska, and you can talk to them in Minnesota, and you can talk to them in Idaho.
Uh-huh.
And these people talk to you.
That's true.
Pay for it, man.
I discovered this years ago, that there were 800 numbers. You can call them and talk to people all over the country. In fact, now you can talk to them all over the world for free.
What world? I can't get nothing farther than Nova Scotia.
Well, the thing is, there are a couple of numbers. I don't have them here with me, unfortunately, but there are numbers that hook you directly to an operator in England, an operator in Japan, an operator in Italy. I'll try to bring them next week.
You know, it was a theme, the abdication of King Edward in England. The abdication was just like a shame, a real shame.
Can I ask you one favor, Sammy? Can you just turn down your radio, because we're getting a little bit of feedback?
Oh, well, I got a good stereo, too. I want a miniature on itself?
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter how good the stereo is. You'll get feedback if you're talking on the air and the phone at the same time.
I got just about the best stereo in the complex.
Uh-huh. Because we have a whole studio here, and, well, I can't make the speakers go up, but,
Set you straight on the studio.
Uh-huh.
I know a guy that's got stuff in his car. Make your studio look like a transistor from 1963.
Really? Well, maybe we should talk to him, because
but
our studio does look like that.
Well, I've been in your studio, because I know Miriam.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Miriam knows me.
Well, how about that?
She owes me tickets. I'm supposed to go to a concert. She's supposed to give me the tickets. I don't want to bring up some old wounds, but she was supposed to give me the tickets. She never got me the tickets. I didn't go to the concert, and I don't talk to her no more.
Well, you shouldn't let old wounds lie, whatever the expression is.
That's right. And they get pussy and stuff. You know what I
mean? Yeah. Well, you know, that's not kosher.
Well, uncomfortable when you got a festering, live, drooling ooze, you know, like a wound.
Uh-huh.
I don't like that stuff, man, because that's like that. Ooh, that's terrible.
It's terrible. You hit the nail right on the head.
You know it's terrible. I got a friend who's a truck driver. He got him all over himself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, his name is Jimmy O'Landy. He's my best friend. He lives over in CI. I know him in CI. He got a problem with the garbage, man.
Uh-huh.
He won't pick up his garbage. Now, didn't they send the garbage all the way to Louisiana? Why didn't they take Jimmy O'Landy's garbage?
Now, they sent the garbage further than that. They sent it down to, what?
They sent it over to Third Street, Jimmy O'Landy's father.
There was talk of it going to England. There was talk of it going to South America.
They should send it. They should send it to Greenlawn because no one lives over there but that Johnny Fox.
Well, I don't know if people in Greenlawn are listening, but perhaps they'd care to respond to that.
I know Johnny Fox is listening because he's lying on the floor drunk, probably. And they should send it the stuff to his house because he's another troublemaker, and to bang his head on the floor because he can't stand himself. He's crying right now.
But let me ask you something before we get more personalities involved here. Have you tried to go to the beach at all this year?
No, it's a Saturday night. I have no place to go. I call you.
Uh-huh. Well, no, I didn't mean tonight. I meant overall throughout the summer. Have you tried going to the beach at all?
If I went to the beach, I would look like a raisin in a pie. A rice pudding. I don't need no beach.
Well, then I guess you're fortunate because of all the waste that's washing up on shore.
I see up my friends when I'm not talking to my friends, but the Johnny Fox, he is as white as a phone. He's like an ATT phone with a white kitchen phone. He has no color whatsoever. And if he went to the beach, he'd probably burn up like a match head.
Well, that might very well be true. But you can burn up like a match head almost anyway. You don't have to go to the beach. You know, I've seen people.
I have to work with the man, you know. But if I didn't have to work with him, I wouldn't even talk to the man. That's for sure. I wouldn't talk. I don't want to say nothing bad because I know you're not on delay tonight.
You probably wouldn't talk to him. You probably wouldn't know him.
No.
Think of all the people you would never know if you hadn't worked with him.
Hey, you know, he's got a bad leg. It's not really that bad, but it's ugly. Well, I don't want to laugh about the crippled people. But. So anyway, I got to go because the phone's been on too long and a woman's yelling at me, get off the phone.
Oh, are you at a payphone?
No, I'm inside.
Ah.
Okay,
well, thanks very much for calling us.
Yeah, call you next week. It's good to have you back, Eric.
Well, it's good to be back.
It's good to see you back.
Oh, it's good to,
on
good
radio,
to see
can't
myself.
I can't see you for nothing.
Yeah, that's true. Well, if you look carefully, maybe you can see something.
Okay, you tell all my friends, say that Sammy says hi.
Okay, all Sammy's friends, Sammy says hi.
A lot of friends down there. It must be Miriam.
Especially Miriam.
I'm not talking to Miriam. Okay, I'll take it easy, Derek. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. I'll be sure to convey that to her. Sammy here on USB. Our phone number is 632-6901, area code 516. Anything's on your mind? Things going on this summer? Things that you want to do this summer? I'm starting to get kind of restless. I want to go to various places. In fact, Sammy talking about calling people up and speaking to them for free, that's kind of getting me thinking. Thinking of making one of those famous phone calls. Well, if you have any ideas, give us a call. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Oh, hello. This is Joan Zimmer. How are you?
Okay. Turn down your radio, please.
Okay. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay. Well, my question is, why hasn't women called you?
Why hasn't who called me?
Women.
Oh, why haven't women called me?
I don't hear any women.
Well, I'd like to know that myself. Now, I'm sure there's many women listening. I'm told that many women listen to this radio station. So why aren't they calling? Well, now, you sound like a woman.
Well, you've got the point right on the hammer.
Now, how come it took you this long to call up this show?
Well, see... I'm sorry.
Okay, you can laugh. You can laugh all you want.
Okay. Pardon.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, see, it started out with wondering... You do have a sexy enough voice for women to have called.
Uh-huh.
I think they ought to.
Uh-huh. Well, can you possibly issue an appeal?
I will.
All right, go right ahead.
And you are Eric.
I certainly am.
The sound of Eric on the tone of her voice is nice.
In stereo.
The sound of it is real great. And it's strong. There's great legends with the name of Eric. So do call in, women. Thank you.
Okay, now, I don't see any women responding yet, but I'm sure they'll listen to you before they'll listen to me, because, you know, it's I don't know why, but I guess...
Well, they certainly should. I'm a switchboard artist myself, and I know the sound of a voice. It can soothe you.
Uh-huh.
And you do have a soothing sound voice.
Well, yeah, it makes me feel a lot better to know that there's people out there who can hear what I'm saying. Right, I mean, it's not bad to sit here for 2 hours and just babble away for no particular reason, but...
I cannot babble.
It sort of adds reason to it when people respond and call in and say hello. You know, it's kind of like a social thing, like a social event. You know, it's almost like a party. That's what
yes,
it is.
It is.
It's like one of those conference lines.
Really? Yes. And to get inspiration sometimes, I mean, people do appreciate you.
Uh-huh. Well, come on, Long Island and Connecticut. Show it. Show that you appreciate brain damage and give us a call.
Come on in.
632-6901. Let's light up that switchboard. You know, you're the only call on here so far. We have we have four open lines, and not one of them is lit.
Well, perhaps we need a subject.
You know, I think we should bring the puppy back in here and start torturing it.
Puppy,
you know, we did that a few weeks ago, and that lit up the switchboard like a Christmas tree.
Did it really?
Yeah, except I didn't bring the puppy tonight. In fact, he's getting bigger and he's starting to fight back.
Oh, no. Well, he gets frisky like any youngster going into adulthood.
All right, we have one call. Now, let's see if we can get another call. You want to plead the case one more time?
Yes, I do. Let's talk about something that perhaps... Oh, yes. Oh, no. I won't mention that.
Okay, that's probably wise.
Thank you.
Where are you calling from?
Northport.
Northport?
Yes. At my friend Wayne Smith's house.
Uh-huh. Well, that's fine. That sounds just great.
And we do listen to you, and I do appreciate your station.
Okay.
Yeah, really.
Well, the frequency is 90.1 FM, and the phone number is 632-6901, area code 516.
Antidotes are really nice to listen to. I mean, to life. One of them that I liked... was when a friend makes a mistake, don't rub it in, rub it out. Antidotes, I think, are the best, I mean, it helps me. Words of wisdom? Oh, no. Oh, I like words of wisdom. One of them is, I know it's the secret to happiness. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. It's not a person, place, or thing. It's within yourself. Be happy. Get away. Because it's only for yourself that will make you happy.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, thank you.
Let's go to some more calls. And I want to thank you for calling. Let's get some more calls in here. 632-6901. Find out what Long Islanders are doing tonight. It sounds like you're at a party.
Yes, and sometimes I do get a little loud.
Sounds like Sammy was at a party, too. There's a lot of parties going on tonight.
Well, it's Saturday night, and it's a great evening. Too hard.
You know, if you're at a party, why don't you call us, and then the people that aren't at parties can call us, and we can sort of link them up just like they do in those commercials about conference lines, and say, hey, you sound like a bunch of grooving chicks there. Let's get together, you know?
Sounds great to me.
Yeah. 632-6901. That's the party line, the USB hotline, you might call it. She disappeared. Wow, she just disappeared like that. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Well, hello, Eric.
Hello.
How are you?
Okay, how are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful.
That's good.
Good to have you back.
Oh, thank you. Sounds like you're in a machine shop. Where are you?
Where am I now? I'm in Sayville.
In Sayville. It sounds like there's stuff going on in the background, isn't there?
No, it's just a cordless phone.
Oh, you're on a cordless phone. Your conversation is being broadcast onto an AM radio. Do you know that?
Wonderful. So,
yeah. Your whole neighborhood can hear you if they want to.
I didn't mean to disappoint you. I mean, I'm not at a party and I'm not a woman.
Well, you know, I can live with both of those things, but I'd like to get some more people who are doing something tonight or not doing something tonight to give us a call. 632-6901. You live in Sayville.
Yes.
Are the beaches down there polluted?
I hope not.
Yeah?
I'm going tomorrow, in fact, and I don't want to get a hypo in my leg or anything.
Which one are you going to?
Parrot. Over on Fire Island.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know if it's open or closed or what, but I think it's pretty pathetic when we have to.
I don't want to be deep or anything. It seems like you've been kind of light, but it seems to me that the whole world seems to be going down the drain lately.
I've noticed that. It's not just me, then.
But you kind of think, you have to think to yourself, what can one person do?
Uh-huh.
And it just doesn't, I don't know, you think about it and it just kind of, I don't know, it gets you more depressed.
Well, think about it this way. You say something that may enlighten some other listener in say, Center Reach or something, and then that one listener goes out and tells his parents, and his parents go and write a letter, and, you know, it sort of works from there, you know? So every little thing you do, however insignificant it seems, and you'll never know what the actual effect of it is, can be very significant. Every little thing can be significant. The trick, I guess, is just don't give up.
True.
So with that little speech there,
that was great. I want to thank you just for all the enlightenment that you've given all of us out here.
Well, thank you for sparking me.
Well, I guess I'll go out.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks, fella. Bye.
632-6901. And good evening. You're on Brain Damage. What we have here is someone evidently speaking in sign language. Now, we don't have those little closed caption machines that you're supposed to be able to get at Sears, but if we had a little more money around here, we might be able to help this person. Damn shame. If by chance there is somebody there and they're talking to us and wondering why we're not responding, it's probably because your mouthpiece is bad and I would suggest calling on a different phone. Oh, they hung up as soon as I said that, so they must have been there. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Yes, I am calling about the problem that you're having with Monty.
This sounds like Sammy again.
Sammy? No, I listened before. I hear Sammy.
Uh-huh.
I like Sammy. He's good. He knows what's going on.
What's your name?
I'm at the conference.
I'm
at the conference in Hophog.
You're at a conference in Hophog?
At Hophog.
What conference is that?
It's a circle and sociological disability.
Sociological disability?
No. You are wrong. But anyway, I'm at this.
Well, I don't wish to get into an argument with you, sir, but I'm just trying to find out what it is.
You didn't name it right.
Well, why don't you tell me again?
It's an economic sociability.
Economic?
On the economics of world socialism.
The economics of world... Uh-oh. Okay, well, in Hophog?
I'm not calling to be political.
Are you telling me there are socialists in Hophog?
What? Is this?
There, right now, at this moment, there are socialists in Hophog. Is that what you're saying?
Lack of socialists in Hophog. And it's only, I don't want to get political.
Well, I don't want to get political either. Far, far be it from the truth.
But there is a lack of socialists in Hophog.
But I think, well, I see people running around here. I think you've just alerted us to something that needs to be addressed.
It's not a threat. It is a reality.
Yeah, well, they seem to think so, too.
It's not a threat. It's a reality.
Well, okay, now, apart from these Reds in Hophog, what else is going on over there?
No, I did not. I'm at a social gathering with people.
Well, that's what socialists do. They go to social gatherings.
Very good, Eric. Okay. I have socialist people here in a gathering, and we're talking, and we're listening.
You people, you always gather in circles. You know, that's what bugs me. You know, you don't even know. It looks like everyone's looking at you.
When
a
drop of blood falls into the water, it falls in the circle.
Well, that's true. A drop of anything falls into the circle.
It has nothing to do with socialism.
But when a stone falls into the water, it sinks. Think about that. And that is capitalism, my friend.
Look, I've almost forgot the point I've called for.
Well, then I've almost succeeded, but go ahead.
Oh, wild guy. Okay. Anyway, I called because before that, the other caller, the Sammy, but there was another man before that.
There was another man before Sammy.
Yes, and he made some remark that I didn't understand.
Okay. Well, I apologize for that.
What was the remark?
I don't know. How am I supposed to know what you didn't understand?
How would I know it if I didn't? If I understood it, I would not call you or ask you if I did not understand it.
Well, now, do you remember what he was talking about?
He was talking some dribble.
Some dribble?
Dribble.
Well, about what? I mean, give me a hint.
Your listening audience has fallen down from a 10 to about a 2.5. Even
oh, I know what he was talking. He was talking about the probability of thunderstorms.
Thunderstorms.
Yeah, we were talking about the probability, the fact that there was a chance of 40% chance of a thunderstorm or two. And I was wondering why the chance for two thunderstorms is exactly the same as the chance for one. Don't stand up in a thunderstorm. No, that's not it. Don't stand under a tree in a thunderstorm. Don't fly a kite. You're not even supposed to talk on the phone, you know. because some people can get struck by lightning somehow.
It's an old saying that I have from my country, Benedict.
What is your country?
Benedict.
Benedict?
Benedict.
Excuse me?
George Harrison, Bangladesh.
Oh, Bangladesh, I'm sorry.
That's right.
I'm terribly sorry.
I always have to mention George Harrison, or no one knows where I come from.
Well, George Harrison did a lot for Bangladesh, you know?
A democracy? Well, anyway, listen. The saying we had, because it's very old, and very our country is as old as India or Pakistan. Everyone.
Well, you know, I heard an old saying once that sayings are no good unless they're old.
Well, this is very old.
Unfortunately, that's a new saying, so it doesn't really mean anything yet.
It had to do with lightning. It said, do not stand under a tree in your socks.
Ah.
Do not stand next to an aluminum aerial or the Johnny Fox.
Ah.
Do not stand out in the metal or you will be dead. Boom, crash, finito.
Well, I'm not familiar with that saying, but it does. It's one of those sayings I can understand, no matter what language it's in.
I thought so.
Uh-huh.
I must go now, because they're calling.
Oh, where are you calling? Oh, you're in Harpag, right?
I'm in the home.
How is the weather out there?
In Harpag?
Yes.
It's very muggy, but there's no muggers.
Okay. Good to hear. Thanks for calling.
Okay, good night.
632-6901. Socialists in Harpag, people in Sayville and Northport, and crazy people from all over the place. Give us a call. Join the fun. Brain damage here in USB. 516-632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yes. What is the story about people from Northport?
What's the story about people from Northport?
A less girl called.
Well, it sounds like they're having a party. I don't know if they're being in Northport has anything to do with it.
Well, I don't know. People either dizzy or in devil cults there.
Well, now, that's not fair, because most people in Northport aren't into devil worshipping. I think we've proven that beyond a reasonable doubt. And, in fact, quite a few people from other parts of the country are. So, according to Jerry Falwell and the PMRC, everybody is encouraging our kids to worship the devil. Which, I didn't feel that much pressure in elementary school to worship the devil. Did you?
No.
No, it totally passed right over me. I mean, if my elementary school teachers and peers were telling me to do this, I must have just missed it completely.
Not until I heard those backward records.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Those backward records, they say some evil things.
Yeah.
Usually unintelligible, but definitely evil.
That's true.
Where are you calling from?
Harpag.
You're in Harpag, too?
I'm at work.
Do you know there's a whole bunch of socialists there?
Well, I'm a socialist, so it's no surprise.
Well, maybe you should get together with them, then. We can have a socialist party line here and sort of guide.
I doubt it.
Maybe we can have some kind of a movement tonight, a spontaneous uprising of the people in the middle of a violent thunderstorm.
I doubt it.
Think about it. The government will be most vulnerable then.
But there are socialists in Harvard.
Yeah, it's something like that.
I really find it hard to believe. It's not a hotbed of radicalism.
Well, that's what they said in 1917. Think about it. These things take you by surprise, you know? Yeah, well, thanks very much for calling.
Okay.
It's the trouble with socialists. They gotta get motivated. So it's hot and muggy outside. That's no excuse. Get up there. Do something. Start some controversy. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hey, man. I'm calling. I live in Northport, man.
You live in where?
I live in Northport.
You live in Northport?
Northport, yeah.
Okay, and you're probably upset about that guy that called and said you were devil worshippers, right?
What kind of nerve? What kind of nerve does he have to call Northwood?
Well, now, perhaps he's only reflecting on what he saw in the newspapers. And maybe your question should be, why did the newspapers focus so much attention on these things that really don't mean anything? I mean, those so-called devil worshippers couldn't even spell Satan correctly, so how much could they really have been into it?
Right.
You don't have to worry. Northport's clear in our book. I can go to Northport any time. I'm not scared of it. I'm sure nobody is. It's just hype, you know? It's just headlines.
Yeah, I think it's just like an alarmist.
Uh-huh.
Answer to an alarm.
Uh-huh. May I ask, what are you doing tonight?
I'm in Northport. I'm at the free concert.
You at the what concert?
Free concert.
What free concert is that?
One here, I don't know.
Ah, well, it doesn't sound very noisy.
It didn't start yet.
Ah, I see. Okay.
I think it's the dead.
The dead, huh? Have you ever been to a Grateful Dead show?
I am at a Grateful Dead show.
I meant before tonight.
Yeah, man.
You have. It's pretty intense, isn't it?
It gets me all excited.
Well, I went to a Grateful Dead show 2 weeks ago tonight, and I'm still thinking about it.
What did you say? You've been there 2 weeks to tonight?
No, 2 weeks ago tonight, I went up to Maine. That's why I wasn't here to a Grateful Dead show.
I listened that night, too.
Yeah, well, it's like nothing I ever experienced before.
Yeah.
So much so, in fact, that I'm not even going to talk about it tonight because it's just too many things to talk about. But I will talk about it at some point in the future.
Far out.
Yeah. Eric's trip to Maine. You can sort of mark your calendar on that one.
I'm marking my calendar now.
Don't mark it too much because you need those calendars.
Wrong year anyway. Don't worry about it, man.
Okay. Well, look, don't worry about your town's reputation because we'll keep it clean over here. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Good night.
Oh, boy. 632-6901. Northport is in good hands. Don't worry. Good evening. You're on brain damage. Hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Is this Eric?
Depends who's asking.
Oh, is this Eric from who was the bogus Eric that they stole away last week?
Okay, I imagine you're one of the people behind that rumor that got started that I was kidnapped or something.
This is Jim Doomsayer.
Okay. Well, that's your right, of course.
You must know who this is.
I must know who this... You just told me who this is.
You know it's Jim Doomsayer.
Right. I know that now.
I say it every time I call, but I usually tell you, you know who I am.
Uh-huh.
Who it is.
Well, you're on a very strange-sounding phone.
Am I? Yeah, I'm not on my usual phone tonight. I'm over Linda's house.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it does sound... definite feminine air to it.
And there's an illegal substance being...
Well, now, you see, we don't want to hear about these things.
Okay.
I'm not
partaking in that. I'm straight.
You
never know that, though, but I have to make a comment.
It is against FCC guidelines for anyone to be speaking over the air under the influence of a controlled substance, whether they're a call-in person or not. And I'm not sure if that's even true, but go ahead.
Don't worry about that, Linda. Oh, by the way.
We're here to worry, don't you know that?
I have to make a comment about last week. Oh, you're not going to like me anymore.
Well,
I
was dissatisfied with last week, too. I thought the whole week stunk.
Those guys...
But I'm not happy with this week, either.
It was nice to have somebody stand in for you, Eric. It was really nice of them. But they had the personality of a bedpan.
Oh, well...
I'm sorry. I hope I didn't upset anybody, but...
That's sorry to my ears. I'm sorry to hear that.
Next time, you got to screen these guys.
Because
they hung up on me twice.
Really?
Oh, it was terrible.
Oh, they must be crazy then.
I don't know what your show's about. I happened to be in the car just leaving. We're going to go to the OVI, and then I heard Eric. I said, oh, Eric's on tonight. Great.
Well, we're talking about polluted beaches and about severe thunderstorms.
Jimmy Doomsayer, you know that.
Uh-huh.
So many people. We're overpopulated.
Uh-huh. Well, what do we do? What do we do now?
Well, there's nothing we can do.
There's blood washing up on
our reptilian mind tells us to do.
There's
having too many kids.
I can't talk over
this. Nature's going to take its course, and it's just it will become extinct like the rest of the species that have been here before us. Or if not, our numbers will become fewer as time goes by.
Uh-huh.
Time hasn't come yet, but it will when nature's, the resiliency of nature, it just can take so much, and it's going to pay us back. It already is in small, subtle ways now, as far as lakes and forests losing their foliage from the acid rain, and a lot of fish are dying, and...
Yeah, from unnatural circumstances. Sometimes fish die from natural circumstances, but increasingly from unnatural. I mean, I don't want to go into the water anymore, not oceans. I'll walk by an ocean, but I really don't want to go in there seeing all those things are floating around.
It's just that there's so much stuff being dumped now because there's so many people. It's just that these things are going to happen. I think you're going to see more and more of this. That's my opinion.
What do you think of sending garbage into outer space?
I think that would be a good idea, but the fuel you need to do that.
Uh-huh.
You need a lot of, it doesn't go up there for free, that stuff. That's a lot of, you got to set it to 7 miles per second in order to get it out of the Earth's orbit, and that's a large expenditure of fuel.
So you send a lot up at the same time.
And how much can, I really don't, I'm not an authority on that. It probably would be a good idea to send it to the moon. Why not? The Earth wouldn't really get any lighter since
I had an idea
coming in from out of space. I'm not an authority on that either, but I listen to Stardate, and I think I've heard Joel talk about that.
Uh-huh.
There's always dust coming in from asteroids and stuff, so we won't be losing any weight. We don't have to worry about that.
I had an idea the other day on the subway. In fact, it was such a good idea, I missed my stop. This is what I really think mankind should do as soon as possible, collect everything that we have into digital form, films, books, computer tapes, and all that kind of thing, and launch it on a rocket and just leave it on the moon for a while.
Everything?
Yeah, because if there is, God forbid, if there is some kind of a nuclear holocaust, I understand all of the magnetic media will be completely wiped out, and we won't have any record of any of the stuff that is on them. No films, no tapes, no nothing. So if we have all that backed up on the moon, which won't be affected by a nuclear war, hopefully, then the human race will at least be remembered.
Hey, that's really an interesting...
But, you know, it's going to be hard to convince people to do that, because by doing that, you sort of... It's sort of like checking the box on the back of your driver's license saying you want to be an organ donor. You're admitting your own mortality.
Yeah, but I don't know. You know, I don't really believe that there ever will be a nuclear war of that magnitude. I think we'll bring it about by ourselves, just by our own short-sightedness, you know, not thinking into the future. People really don't think beyond their own what they want, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, we'll just kill each other with our bare hands.
Like... We're just gonna overdo it. We're gonna wreck the atmosphere. We're overdoing it.
Uh-huh.
And you know that the Earth, as long as it's been here, it can't be denied that it's never seen the kind of troubles that it's seeing now. There's just too many people doing too many things to it, damaging it. We're almost like a cancer now. It's sad to say, but if you really look at it, it seems true to me. I don't think we need a nuclear holocaust. I don't think that'll do it.
Well, cancer pretty much works the same way the human race does. It replicates itself, spreads all over the place, and creates havoc in its wake. It's a horrible analogy there, but...
Shame. I really really hate to talk like that, because there is so much good in human beings. I mean, I'm not knocking the human race, but because there's so much good, but it seems like it's so few people that really think about what they're doing.
Uh-huh. But we do have the ability to be aware of what we're doing wrong, and I think that's our saving grace.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, Eric, you know, there's people that I've met that have come knocking on my door. There's certain Christian people that believe that God will fix everything with his magic wand. He'll come down when it gets so bad, and he's going to wave his magic wand, and he's going to fix all of the things that, well, you were really irresponsible people, and I'm going to fix it all up for you, and now you can start all over again. They actually believe that, you know, we could do whatever we want. We could keep on populating. There's nothing to worry about.
Uh-huh.
That's silly. My personal belief is that we're no higher up than any other species. We could go the way the dinosaurs did.
Well, the dinosaurs were around for ages longer.
130 million years. They were around for a long time, longer than we were.
Yeah. A lot of fundamentalist religions believe that a nuclear annihilation or the equivalent of that is inevitable, and that's the will of God.
They did? Really?
So just
really
some kind of an annihilation where the second coming and everybody, the good people go to heaven, the bad people go to hell.
That's silly. I mean,
yeah, but think about people.
The mentality of a God that it would be so simple as, well, you were bad, and you go to hell, and you're good, you go to hell. Isn't that a little like a game, a joke?
Yeah, exactly. But think about people who are in control, in power, in charge of a lot of people, a lot of other people, with that kind of thought.
Yeah,
and think about
right.
How it
you
relates.
Got, you got a point there.
It's really scary, because with that kind of attitude, you can say, well, you know, it doesn't matter if we have another war, because it's God's will.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, I've tried to talk to people like this. I told them, you know, now you may be right. I have the right to be wrong just as much as they do. I do believe that there may be some supreme being, but I don't think that it's such a simplistic thing, like, you know, with the everybody's going to be resurrected. I try to explain, there's just not enough room on the earth for that, and they, you know, they don't see it. I mean, they just don't see it scientifically. There's just so much that you can take from the earth, God or not, and even if God did create the earth the way they think He did, it took millions and millions of years to get to the point where it is now.
Uh-huh.
The tropical rainforest didn't just happen
overnight.
That was something that evolved, and evolution is a fact, and some of them don't even want to believe that.
But you see, whether you believe in God or not, I think it's pretty I don't know, to me it's pretty obvious that the whole Earth is an organism of some sort.
Yeah, that's it. Some people believe that. That's interesting, that even the flowers have a part in it in controlling the temperature by reflecting light.
But it all works. It all works in conjunction with itself and keeps the whole thing moving.
I'm fond of that. That you talk like that.
Look at protective coloration, and tell me there isn't something at work there. You know, it's trial and error.
I would have had the people that took your place last week had more to say on that. They weren't very interesting.
Uh-huh.
I hate to say.
Well, you know, a person is only as interesting as the calls they get, I think.
Uh-oh.
I like to say.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's not meant to criticize you, though.
Criticize me. They didn't know me. They're not used to me.
Uh-huh.
No, you know that I don't get out of hand on the phone. But uh-huh. They thought I was going to, you know, I started with my doomsday stuff,
uh-huh.
I think. I don't remember. About Shoram or something. I think I said, you know, Shoram is a necessary evil. Because there's so many people, and they got to get power from somewhere. They don't want to give up all their nice little electric appliances, but they're willing to stand in front of the power plant with their protest signs. But why? I'd like to see everybody just turn off all their stuff for a week and see what that would be like. Maybe bring Wilco to its knees that way instead of, you know, that. Let's see if you can do without the stuff that you need. That's why Shoram's there, because they need it. That's my opinion.
Uh-huh.
I think that you need Shoram because it's just and the need for it. And it's almost at its end of its use anyway, even if they opened it up now. What's it got, 7 years left on it, on the fuel? Because they only last 20 years, right? Hasn't it been there 13 years now?
Well, the fuel hasn't been there that long.
No, it hasn't.
Fuel's only been there a couple of years.
Yeah.
But I really don't want to talk about Shoram. I'm all talked out about Shoram.
Well, let's give somebody else a chance. There's probably somebody else calling you. I think I said enough tonight.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for calling.
Yeah, this was interesting.
It's always interesting.
A lot out of this conversation tonight.
Okay. Well, think about some of the things that we said tonight.
Yeah, sure.
Apply it to your
life. Have a good night. I hope you get some more interesting calls tonight. Take care, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye. 632-6901. Don't let him down. Let's have some interesting calls come in here and make all the previous callers happy that they spurred this discussion. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello?
Yes?
Yeah, this is Wayne.
Hi, Wayne, where are you calling from?
I'm in Northport.
What, is everyone in Northport tonight? What's going on over there?
I heard why. I listen almost every week, and I figured, you know, there's a lot of people calling from Northport.
So that's true. Well, what are you doing tonight?
Good guy. I'm calling about the garbage on the moon.
Ah, okay.
Elvis Presley still being alive.
And Elvis Presley still being alive. Okay, go ahead.
Between the two. There's no connection between the two. I know it.
I didn't say there was.
Well, it shouldn't be.
Uh-huh.
Elvis Presley. I mean, the king is dead, long live the king.
Uh-huh.
But they have seen him, and I've seen it in the Inquirer now. Why would they print it in the Inquirer, a legitimate paper, if it wasn't true, you know?
Yeah.
I was talking to some people I know. They say that it says so in the Inquirer. You know, I don't go that far. I have a little bit of a doubt. But if the Inquirer has it, and the Daily News even had it, how come Elvis saw it?
Well, I think the question is, why do people keep talking about Elvis when the guy's been dead for over 10 years? You know,
he's not dead.
Let him go, for God's sake. It's over. It's finished. It's no more Elvis. He's gone. Once we accept that fact, I think we can get on with our lives and start looking towards other things.
And accept that. And that's what's selling those wonderful newspapers to the public.
Well, I couldn't accept the fact that Elvis was alive for the last 10 years of his life, so I don't have any problem accepting that he's not alive now.
No, that if you take Hound Dog Man,
uh-huh.
Have the album Hound Dog Man.
I'm sure we do.
You have it in the station?
Oh, I'm sure we have it back there on the P for Presley.
You're too young for that radio. You would know if it's there. But anyway, on Hound Dog Man,
uh-huh.
You play the first 6 lines backwards. It says, I am not Al Sharpton.
Oh, my goodness. We'll have to do that.
You know how weird that is because of the poignancy of Elvis not being dead and Al Sharpton being alive?
Uh-huh.
It's a trip.
I'm trying to think if there's any similarity between the two names.
None at all. I'm just saying it's just a trip.
Uh-huh.
Hey, what can I tell you? I'm from Northport.
Oh, I'm sure you can tell me quite a bit. That's
anyway.
Very interesting. Okay, we have some people looking into that right now, then.
Okay.
Thanks for passing that on to us. Uh-huh. Well, I don't know if that was necessary, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi there, Eric.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I heard
where the guy mentioned some reputable newspaper?
Irreputable? I don't know. He said something about a newspaper, yes. And I think the only reason we can call it a newspaper is because it is, in fact, printed on newspaper. So, for that matter, it's a newspaper.
Well, actually, they got sued by Carol Burnett.
Uh-huh.
And in court, they ruled that it was not a newspaper.
What did they call it?
Maybe a magazine.
Uh-huh.
Or a rag or something to hang in the bathroom, something like that.
I heard somebody on our airwaves this week during the classical show talking about how Adolf Hitler was actually a female.
Well, that's funny. See, someone I live with purchased the Weekly World News.
The Weekly World News. Never heard of that one.
55 cents and something like $6 a year to subscribe to.
Uh-huh.
The cover says, Atlantis Rising from the Sea.
Uh-huh.
And then on page 3... it says, the proof, Adolf Hitler was a woman.
Well, now, do you have this in front of you?
Yeah, I do, in fact.
All right, tell me the proof. I'm dying to know.
Well, there's an artist's conception of Adolf Hitler wearing high heels here.
Now, this reminds me of about a year or so ago, the New York Post did an artist's conception of how Gaddafi would look if he was a female.
Right.
For no particular reason, either.
Well, what I think they did was took Margaret Thatcher's body and put Adolf Hitler's head on top.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, let's see. Well, they quote Rudolf Hess and some other, you know, reputable people.
Uh-huh. Did he die? I think he died, didn't he?
Always is dying.
Well, one of those Nazis died. Yeah, but go ahead.
So they quote him saying, he was apparently born with ovaries, a womb, and malformed sex organs.
And that's what made him so cross, huh?
Actually, this was Van Stempfer who said this.
And who is that?
Van Stempfer. Let's see. He was regularly treated with testosterone and other hormones to give him a more masculine appearance.
Uh-huh.
Hence the mustache, I guess.
Uh-huh, yes.
Let's see. He remains a woman's intuition and ability to understand and manipulate others.
Well, he did that all right.
He married, but only at the end of his life. And only for appearances, he could not have normal sexual relations, and he could certainly never produce children.
He never produced children, at least as far as I know.
They say weird things about that woman he used to hang out with.
Uh-huh. Well, what kind of weird things?
Sarah Brown.
Yeah? What do they say about her?
A strange article. He was raised as a boy. I'm going to talk about him again.
Okay.
So while he was being treated for war wounds, doctors discovered he was genetically female. Mm. I have a picture of him as a girl when he was a child.
This really is incredible.
Yep. They also, on the next few pages, tell you the mystery of Loch Ness Monster, and have a picture of a freeze-dried dog, or a mummy having dinner with family, or how about this headline? If you've ever read something like this. My baby had a time bomb in his head.
I love it. Now, can I just ask, how did the time bomb get in there? The mother swallowed it or something?
Helen Wade's baby boy looked healthy enough, but inside the child's head was a time bomb ticking away and threatening the infant's life. And you know what it is?
It's not like a brain tumor or something, is it? It's a real time bomb?
It's a brain tumor.
I don't believe that. They tricked us. They made us think it was a ridiculous story, and it turns out to be a true story.
It's like that time and time again, yeah.
Boy. Yeah, but the Adolf Hitler being a woman, now that's crazy.
It's just speculation, though.
What was his name if he was born a girl?
They
must say that somewhere.
Make sure he was a girl. I mean, girls were preferable back then.
Why is that? I thought boys were always preferable.
Well, no one would trust a girl to perhaps rise to the head of one of the strongest countries in the world, exterminate many people.
Yeah, no one would trust a girl to do that. That's for sure.
Only a man.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, if that was true, it would certainly knock over quite a few women's libbers who say that, well, not even women's libbers, just females in general say that it's that male ego that's responsible for all these horrible things in the world. If a female, and I think females are capable of the same thing to a large degree. I mean, just look at Margaret Thatcher, you know? I mean, not for too long, but just look at her, and you'll see what I mean.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Nancy Reagan, imagine her in power.
She is in power.
Yeah, poor choice of words there. People like that. Who else? Well, there's others. I know that, but I just can't think of them right now. Indira Gandhi.
No.
She's got a lot of people mad at her.
A lot of people like her.
Uh-huh.
Well, the last thing I'll tell you about is this ad on the back, okay?
Okay.
It's somebody's a medium, and they, you know, tell the future and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it has a coupon here, free, valid for granting of one wish.
Oh, wow.
And you just fill out a little form here.
Uh-huh.
Name and address, and you mail it off to some address in Connecticut.
Now, do you have to buy another wish to get that wish, or can you just get one for free?
No charge.
Well, now, I hope you send this in and ask for about 70 wishes, and then we can distribute them over the air.
Well, if 70 people sent in, then I wouldn't have to.
That's true, but they also have to buy that magazine, which I'm sure many of them don't want to do.
Well, perhaps they can just look at it in the supermarket. Perhaps look, when they stop laughing, write down the address.
Uh-huh. I bought one of those magazines once, and it was a number of years ago for another radio program I did on this station, and we just read story after story over the air, and we had so much fun with it. That's the only time, though, I've ever actually... I look at the headlines, but I never touch the things, you know? I'm scared to. I don't want to... I've never seen anyone touch them either. I mean, I know people buy those things, but I've never seen anyone actually do it. Not in front of me, anyway.
I wonder how they write them, because they obviously don't go reporting. They sit around, maybe in a circle, thinking of how they can manipulate headlines or, you know, who is a woman this time? Adolf Hitler? Maybe Brezhnev was a woman.
Well, let's think up a story now. I'm sure we can come up with one we can submit to them. Probably make a few hundred bucks at it. Now, I'm thinking something from outer space. Okay, I know it's been done before, but something slightly different. You know?
Okay.
Not that your typical round spaceship, but something kind of squarish. And it just suddenly sort of appears. You don't see it come out of the sky because that's too predictable. It just sort of appears at your feet. But it's from outer space, you know?
Small little cube.
Colorful. And perhaps in many different... A baby's block. The baby's blocks from outer space. Your children may be playing with them.
How about the Rubik's Cube?
My God, the Rubik's Cube. It came from outer space and it's possessed. It's possessed our teenagers, our children, and some adults, too. For God's sake, if you have a Rubik's Cube, get it out of your house now before it's too late. Because at a predetermined time, they will be activated.
They're all little transmitters.
Yeah, they're all little transmitters. Now, when do they begin transmitting? When you solve the problem, then you are marked as one of the people that could potentially be dangerous and solve the problem and see the threat of what's going to happen.
What if you just buy the cool book?
Well, yeah, that probably messed things up quite a bit when somebody did that. That might mess things up a lot, actually. How about this guy Rubik who invented the thing? I think we should take a good look at him.
No.
Okay, well, you call the Inquirer. I'll call the, Weekly World News?
Weekly World News.
Sure, I think we've got something here, especially if we back it up. In fact, let's appeal to all the listeners. Call up these magazines and swear that it's true. Swear that the Rubik's Cubes are possessed. And I'll look at these magazines, and I'll see if this story appears someday, you know? And then we can go on national TV and reveal that we made that up right here.
I think perhaps if we insisted that George Bush was a woman...
Wow.
Then it would be more useful.
It would be, except he's fallen behind in the polls. It's Dukakis that's ahead now.
See after this week.
We'll see after this week, that's right. All right, well, thanks very much for calling.
Good night.
Good night. 632-6901 is our phone number. It's 21 minutes after 11 o'clock. You're listening to Brain Damage. And our number, once again, 516-632-6901. Good evening. You are on Brain Damage.
Yeah, this is John. I'm calling from Northport.
Northport. Oh.
I'm not a Northport guy.
I forgot to ask the last caller where he was calling from, but he was probably in Northport, too. But go ahead.
All right, listen. I'm changing the whole subject here.
Okay.
I want to deal with the subject about cocaine.
Cocaine.
Yeah, you know, that wonderless drug that doesn't do nothing for nobody?
I thought it was just a phone number, 1-800-COCAINE. You mean there's more?
Yeah.
Okay, what is it?
For all those guys out there that bring the cocaine out, and they take your girlfriends away, and they get them high and shit, and then they take them and they leave them, you know, and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
This is a little advice for all those guys.
Don't curse.
I won't. I'm not going to curse.
Go ahead.
The girls alone, because the guys are going to get mad. And then when you get mad, you get infuriated. You get infuriated, you get psychic and crazy, psychotic and nuts. My best friend just lost her old lady to a cocaine dealer. And now he is insane. If he ever finds a guy, God only knows what he's going to do with him.
Uh-huh. Well, now, that's an interesting point you raise. Most people would say that cocaine itself is what messes people up. You're saying the cocaine dealers come in and steal girlfriends?
Sure, all day long.
That's something Nancy Reagan never focused on.
She never did, because she never had nobody offer it to her, did she?
I guess not, no.
Think of that one.
I certainly will. You know, it would be interesting. I'd like to know what the hardest drug that Nancy Reagan tried was. I mean,
probably a painkiller.
Probably a painkiller, you're right.
Because, you know, we're personal problem just now, that's about it.
Uh-huh.
But, hey, man, I'm letting all these guys, just let all those guys know out there, if they listen, get hip to them.
Uh-huh.
Happens to them, I can't say to do, I can't say what to do, because, you know, I can't promote no violence on the radio.
No, you can't do that.
But that's,
no profanity.
No profanity and no violence, I know.
Okay.
But my best friend, he almost stuck a shotgun in his mouth. Excuse me, he did, but he didn't have the gonads to do it.
Uh-huh.
All right?
And this was because of cocaine or a cocaine dealer?
A cocaine dealer stole his wife, but he didn't know what to do. He couldn't handle it. And the guy went nuts.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you what, if someone tried that with my old lady, well, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
Uh-huh.
I'd go right after him.
Uh-huh.
To be both.
Well, now, you know, why are these people running off with the cocaine dealer? Shouldn't you be asking that question? I mean, are they so irresistible?
The drug that if you get them hooked, you get hooked on anything. If you're an alcoholic.
Okay, so these people are being hooked on cocaine first and then taken away by the cocaine dealers.
Probably, who knows?
Uh huh.
You know, I can't say, but man, you know, it screws up a lot of lives.
Uh huh. Oh, there's no question about that.
No, I'm retired. I'm retired military. I got another guy here retired military.
Uh huh.
And hey, even in the service we had it, but
yeah.
Who
brings it into the service? How does cocaine get into the service?
Communists, I guess.
Communists?
No, socialists. They're the last guys you had on here a little while ago.
Well, now, I expect the cocaine to get in before the communists did somehow, but...
Cocaine, I won't say cocaine is in the service because cocaine is a rich drug.
Uh-huh. Not anymore, no. With crack and everything, cocaine has become affordable to just about everybody.
The Democrats, maybe. The Democrats probably did it.
Uh-huh.
And narco-terrorists, man. You got my friend here. Democrats are crazy anyway.
Yeah. How about other drugs? Is cocaine the only threat?
Oh, no, you gotta be kidding. Jesus Christ. It's heroin all day long in the service.
Uh-huh.
You got it.
So it sort of makes you feel uneasy when you're on the civilian side.
Not really, because when it comes down to push and shove,
uh-huh,
American combat soldier will prevail. I'll tell you that much.
Why is that?
Because he is trained.
Uh-huh.
Even though he might be all ba-ba-ba on drugs.
Uh-huh.
Personally, man, you got me in a spot here, man.
Yeah.
No? Even though he might be all messed up on drugs, he will still get in that tank. He will still jump out of that airplane and perform his duties.
Well, won't soldiers from other places do the same thing?
No, man. You ever try to jump out of a plane stoned on vodka?
Uh-huh.
You ever try that?
No, I never have.
Hey, I do. I tell you what, I used to do it. I'm an airborne trooper. I used to jump out of a plane stoned on marijuana, right?
Uh-huh.
I tell you what, I couldn't do it stoned on vodka. Not like the Russians drink. Ain't no goddamn way. All right, you know what I'm saying?
I'll say this. You've brought up something that I didn't think would ever get brought up on this program, but I'm glad you did.
Oh, you know what I'm saying, though, right?
Uh-huh.
That's a stone cold fact right there, man. Because the commies over there, across the border, I was based in Germany for 6 years. These guys there, we'd be giving each other the international peace sign all day long, right?
Uh-huh.
These guys would tip over, they would tip up bottles of flask of vodka.
Uh-huh.
They're getting drunk, and we can't.
Well,
you know what I mean?
They know how to have fun.
Oh, I'm on patrol on the border.
Yeah.
Ain't? We're patrolling our tanks, and these guys are tipping up bottles of vodka, and we're cursing at them. They're giving us the international peace sign, which is the middle finger, if you didn't know that. All right?
Uh-huh.
And we can't drink. We're on patrol for two goddamn weeks. We can't drink nothing. And you don't want a GI that can't drink for 2 weeks because he's ornery and he don't like it. And these guys are drinking, carrying on. And you know what? Only one button fires around across the border. These guys are drunk. And they're going to say, who starts the war? Wasn't us. Them drunk song bitches did. Excuse my language on the radio. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, I think you've gotten the point across very well.
I know, FCC. I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to get a point across.
No, you got the point across. No question about that.
I just wanted that thing about the cocaine dealers. That was the main thing I wanted.
In concert. A concert that goes up against the whole reactionary political agenda taking over this country. From the Howard Beach style racist attack to the rock and roll censorship to the televangelist assault on abortion clinics. We say no. Basta ya. Enough. Resist in Concert will feature performances from Michael Rose, Muta Baruka, D.O.A., Gil Scott-Heron, Pablo Moses, Carmej Dion Farce, Allen Ginsberg, John Trudell, MC Light, right. Audrey Sue, Shelley Thunder, Aini Kamosi, Ike C, and many more. Special guests to be announced. Don't miss this. Become part of this movement of resistance to this ugly resurgent America. For further information and to get involved in Resist in Concert and Refuse and Resist, call 212-227-6268. That's 212-227-6268.
Right now, let's start. Tune in to 90.1 FM as Pacifica News presents coverage of the 1988 Democratic National Convention, live from Atlanta. You'll hear the major speeches and conflicts as they happen, but you'll also get one thing from us that you won't get on the major networks, alternative coverage of the nation's political process. Educational, but not boring. The Democratic Convention, a presentation of WUSB and the Pacifica Network. And coverage begins this Monday night. And we'll continue until Thursday night between 7 and 11 p.m. only here on WUSB, Stony Brook, Long Island's first station of the 90s. And we're back. Give us a call, 632-6901, area code 516, 632-6901. The program is Brain Damage. We're on until midnight, and we're talking to people all over the island tonight, and let's get some Connecticut calls in, too. Tell us what's on your mind this week. Tell us about the summer, what you're doing in the summer, what you're doing tonight, polluted beaches, all kinds of things. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm calling. I'm in Fairfield, Connecticut.
You are?
Can you hear me?
What's your area code?
My area code's 201.
No, that's New Jersey, sorry. Well, you see, now, if people are going to call from Connecticut, they have to get the area code right. 201 is New Jersey. Now, I'll be perfectly happy to take calls from people when they tell me where they're calling from, and they're not telling a lie. That was a lie. How could somebody call up a radio station and lie? I mean, what are we, the government? Come on, we're people just like you. We're sitting here sweating to death in a hot room where it's 90 degrees. I mean, you should see this place. It's disgusting. But we do this because we love it. Because we want to reach out to you. We want to talk to you. We want to have you call us and tell us what's on your mind. But if you tell us you're in a state you're not in, I mean, there's just no excuse for that. So, sorry I had to do that. But there's certain times in a man's life when you got to do something. And that was one of them. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yes, my name's John. I'm calling from Hopog.
Hopog, okay.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about apathy and how it causes ignorance in America.
Well, I don't know if many people care about that, but go ahead anyway.
No, because that's what this program is all about, I think. And you're getting people like the last caller not the one from New Jersey or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But the man who called up about the military.
Uh-huh.
And it's becoming like, I can see how this is in like an intellectual program and how we can have a lot of discussion.
This is an intellectual program?
Well, it can be. I mean,
yeah.
You have the guy earlier. But it kind of turns, sometimes you get these callers who call up and it becomes like a Morton Downey Jr. show.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're a great host and everything. And I listen to it every now and then, and I think it's really interesting. But I think there's a big problem just sort of with young people in America. It's sort of like the I don't care generation. Because I'm 16, and I see this every day.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like about everything. We don't seem to have much direction.
Well, if I recall, when I was 16, people seemed more concerned with what was affecting them and their immediate circle of friends, their immediate lives. And the bigger picture of what's happening in the world or even in the local community doesn't really mean anything. It's kind of boring, you know. That's the way they look at it.
America's just become so suburbanized that people have become used to having their own little shelled world. And there's no, they have no connection whatsoever to what's going on around them.
Isn't that true of Americans in general?
Right. And, I mean, there's, because we're the wealthiest society, where we take things for granted, and it seems a shame that so many people, you know, seem to laugh about it and don't look at the rest of the world, and you know, don't get enough exposure to the rest of the world.
You see, I think, and I've said this before, I think we're almost encouraged not to take an active interest because people who take an active interest can change things.
Yeah,
and if everyone took an active interest and changed things, the status quo, and the people in charge would be kind of threatened. You might have an election with more than two people running for the most important job in the world.
Exactly, and the minute you say something that opposes a conservative viewpoint, which is certainly dominant over the last 8 years, they say something totally irrational, like you're a communist or something.
Well, it's not just the conservatives. I mean, even the Democrats, they're part of the same system.
Right, it's and even in school, you know, if you're, like John Lennon said, if you're wise, they despise you.
Uh-huh. That's certainly true. If you're smarter than the teacher, forget it.
Or even if you're stupid, they laugh at you.
You have to slow down to so that everybody else can catch up to you, or so that you can just slow down to their level. That's how it is with a lot. I've seen a lot of smart people get completely discouraged that way.
And another thing I'd like to say about a lot of people say that you have to be patriotic, but patriotism is, I'm sort of like, you have to think about like cosmopolitanism. And seeing the whole world, and this is all our planet.
Uh-huh.
And this is not just the United States of America. I mean, Rome only lasted for, 800 years, 1,000 years?
Uh-huh.
I mean, someday, like it or not, the United States of America is not going to exist anymore. And you can't have this idea that the United States is going to last forever.
Right.
And, you know, that we should do everything Rambo, go get them for America.
Well, you know, I think it's all in the way you present it. I mean, if you say that with kind of a sneer in your voice, people would say you're not being patriotic, and you're probably not.
We're all here on this planet together, and we shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. And
I think we let governments get in the way of actual human relations.
But you see, we feel the same way as individuals, too, towards each other. We think that the people that we're around are always going to be around, and as soon as anything happens to change that, it's considered a threat or something that shouldn't happen, when in most cases it's like the most desirable thing possible.
Group psychology is...
Same thing with countries.
We shouldn't allow our group psychology to reflect the microcosm.
Uh-huh.
Our individual feelings towards each other. We treat our wars like as if we were in a schoolyard scuffle or something.
So we shouldn't do that?
Right. I mean, there's almost no negotiation, it seems, and it's strange. Like this the Iranian downing of the jetliner.
Uh-huh.
It was strange about that, the way the Americans reacted, whereas. I'm sure you've talked about this, about the KLL, the KL, KL flight.
Right.
Not more than, 4 years earlier, 3 years earlier,
uh-huh.
When it was shot down, the Americans seemed so horrified. But the minute they think, I heard someone say, it was the Iranians sent up on purpose. It's just, you know, just to see so they can further their terrorism and say that say that the Americans did do it on purpose and everything.
I think you might be generalizing a bit because I know a lot of people were very upset by
it. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there are people who are upset. I'm just saying that there should be no reason for anyone saying something like that.
Uh-huh. There may be a reason. We might not agree with it, but people should be talking about it and disagreeing as much as possible, I guess. That's really the only way to get to the heart of the matter.
I just wanted to say that we need to have more discussion about things nowadays, and it just doesn't seem like there's enough of it.
Now, you're 16.
Right.
What kind of school are you in?
Hot Park High School.
Public school. How do you explain your not being apathetic? How did that happen?
Not being apathetic?
Yeah.
I try to get involved in activities and like National Honor Society and things like that.
Can you point to something that inspired you to do that?
It inspired me?
To just care, to be involved?
Not really. It just comes from motivation.
It
comes from individual motivation.
Yeah, I think that's what we're all lacking is motivation. The fact that we can really do anything we want to do, but look around you. I mean, people get stuck in the same job for 40 years, for even 5 years.
Miller, death of a salesman syndrome.
And why? What's the point? You know, why not work for a while, blow some money, go someplace, have fun, get experience, you know, go around, meet people, make long-distance calls, all that kind of thing.
Well, I don't want to take up any more of your time.
Yeah, well, thanks very much for calling.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye. 632-6901. Yes, he certainly brought up a world of issues there, and things that bother me quite a bit, too, is apathy. And it's a tough topic to address, I realize. Not a lot of people are interested in talking about apathy, but probably America is one of the more apathetic countries that there is, whatever is the right phrase for that, but we can do something about it. And the first step is to call us, 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage. No, you're not. He hung up. The great thing about these phones is you can hang up and it doesn't make a sound. You just look and the light's out. Incredible. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello?
Yes?
Yes, my name is Stephen. My name is Stephen Citron.
Well, I doubt that, but go ahead anyway.
Well, my name is Stephen Citron, and I live up in Fort Slongers, near Northport, and everyone's been calling from Northport, and I figured I'd call, too, because I'm Stephen Citron. I live near Northport.
Where do you live?
I live in Fort Slongers.
Oh, Fort Slongers. That's that town that everyone thinks is in California that's actually on Long Island.
Yeah, that's exactly correct.
Now, tell me something about the history of Fort Slongers. Where is Fort Slongers? What does it mean?
Well, my great-great-great-great-grandfather, Sergeant Citron, he was up on a hill during the Revolutionary War, and they shot a cannon at him, and they hit him right in the face.
Uh-huh.
And my family carries that scar to this day.
What does that have to do with Fort Slongers?
Well, it has nothing to do with it, but he was there.
Okay, that's the important thing.
He was in charge, like, the decoration of the fort.
I see.
Interior. Only the interior, and then he was an exterior man.
Okay, we will check up on this, you know, and if it's not true, we'll get back to you.
Okay. Anyway, my mother, Dorothy...
Okay.
She was telling me, she said, no matter what they say, you are, our family is part of Fort Slongers' history.
Uh-huh.
And
Fort Slongonians, I guess you call
them. Stephen Citron will ring out, will always be there. Everyone will always know that my family historically and emphatically were the mainstay and the roots of Fort Slongers. The roots, as it were, in the dirt of Fort Slongers.
As it were, yes.
As it were.
As it were. I heard you.
Okay. And Northport. Northport is an offshoot of the Fort Slongers fort.
Uh-huh.
Because it was down in the harbor area, formerly called Cow Harbor. Now, I don't know why they call it Cow Harbor, but they call it Cow Harbor. It was Northport.
Okay.
It's not because it was north of anything. It's just because it was port.
Well, it is north of everything else.
Of Port, but that's not the reason they named it Northport.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it didn't...
It's that up right now.
Uh-huh.
It's north, and it's a port, but it was not named because it was north of a port. It was named Northport.
The northerly port.
Even that. You're wrong.
All right. Well, what is your point?
My name is Stephen Citron.
We know that.
And I live in Northport, but it's really Fort Salonga. And I'm trying to say that Fort Salonga and Northport are two different, separate, absolutely different entities. They have nothing whatsoever to do with each other. One is much more expensive to live in than the other, as my mother Dorothy will tell you.
Mother Dorothy.
My mother Dorothy. Everyone knows my
mother. Oh, I thought you were going to put her on.
Oh.
You said I
spoke to my mother?
Well, if she's there, you know, it's kind of late, too. Yes, is this Mother Dorothy?
She can't come out of the tub. She's in the tub.
Well, who is that, then?
No, that was me.
Your voice went up quite a few octaves there.
She's sopping wet. She's out.
Oh, well, don't drop the phone in the bathtub. That's very dangerous.
Hello?
Yes, this must be Dorothy.
Yes, that's right. And Northport and Fort Salonga are two totally different things.
That's quite a son you have there.
Thank you. I do believe he is. I think so, at least.
Isn't
that right, Stephen?
You must be very proud of him.
Excuse me?
You must be very proud of him.
Oh, extremely proud of him.
Uh-huh. Wow. How old is he now?
25.
25, huh? And when's his birthday? I'd ask you this because you're his mother. You would certainly know these things.
Excuse me?
I just wanted to know when his birthday was so we could send him a card.
March 17th.
March 17th. St. Patrick's Day.
That's right.
Well, that's certainly something. Wow. You must remember that day when you gave birth to him.
I certainly did. I'm not saying that it was the easiest thing in the world.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it sounds like it took its toll.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. So, now you live in Fort Salonga, is that correct?
That's right, Nine Soundview.
Yes, Nine Soundview.
Uh-huh. Now, he's 25, he still lives at home with his family. That's very heartening to hear in these days where families break up early and everything like that.
Well, I happen to have a very loving son.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good to know.
And he happens to be the president of General Motors.
Oh, well, now that you mention it, I do recall hearing his voice before. Yes, yes. Well, it certainly was an honor to hear from the Citroen family tonight.
Thank you very much.
I don't suppose you really had anything to say when you called, though, did you?
Yes, I did. I had to express my opinion on the difference between Northport and Fort Salonga.
That's already been expressed quite a lot, actually. We know all about the differences now between Fort Salonga and Northport.
Well, there is a big difference, and I don't appreciate being said that we are the same.
Well, I don't think we ever said that here. And I know we never will say that here. Do people say that a lot?
And I hope you won't.
No, we swear. From this point on, we'll never even make comparisons between the two.
My husband would like to say something.
Uh-oh. Daddy Citroen.
Good. I live in Fort Salonga all my life.
Now, wait a minute. This is Sammy. Sammy, I recognize your voice, Sammy. You called up at the beginning of the program.
Sammy, what do you know about Sammy? I live in Fort Salonga.
It sounds like you're having a family...
Fort Salonga?
Is this a Citroen family reunion or what?
It's a fort. You come in this fort, I'll kill you. Don't come over here in the Fort Salonga. You stay over there in Greenlawn with Johnny Fox.
We're not in Greenlawn. We're in Stony Brook.
Well, I don't know where you're coming, a white trash area. We don't need that white trash over here in Fort Salonga. Because, God, we will. We're putting up the fences, and we're cleaning the place up. We got a neighborhood watch. Don't come over here in Fort Salonga. Because, damn it, my son, Steve Citroen Jr., he'll knock you in the head. He's knocked up a lot of people in this town. He'll knock them up again. He'll knock you in the head.
You can tell that just by talking to him. It's amazing.
He's an amazing kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he is an amazing kid. You got an amazing wife there. Is there anyone else in the family that wants to talk to us?
No, but I'll tell you, my son Steve, there may be something wrong with him in the head.
Uh-huh.
He's okay downstairs.
He's okay downstairs. Well, make sure he stays there, please.
Okay, man, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks for calling.
What's the line? You look me up, because I'm on the street all the time.
I'll look for you next time I pass through there.
Good night, man.
Bye. Now you know why I pass through Salonga at no less than 70 miles an hour every time I go through there. Yes, Fort Salonga, that sleepy little town that we'd all like to forget at some point. No, actually, Fort Salonga is a very nice place. I don't know anything in Fort Salonga, actually. I just you pass by on Route 25A, you see a green sign that says Fort Salonga, and then you'd see another green sign a few feet later saying that you're in somewhere else. And you say to yourself, what was that? What was Fort Salonga? What does it mean? You know, Just one of life's little mysteries that you'll probably never find the answer to. Oh, Long Island is such a crazy place. Such a crazy place. It's 12 minutes to 12 o'clock. We have time for maybe one or two more calls. And is this Brother Bill here?
Yes.
Now, I know whenever you make an appeal for a phone call, you always get results. Now, we've had a lot of phone calls tonight. Some would say a few too many, but there is room for a couple more, and maybe we should go for that like grand slam call that's
I was waiting
out there.
I was waiting for this moment to actually happen because you just think about the thoughts that are in your brain right now.
Uh-huh.
Like, how much, they say that the human brain and the nervous system uses voltage and current and stuff like that in the microvolts or...
No calls yet.
Excuse me.
632-6901. So last time you did this, you had like three calls by now, but keep going.
Anyway, think of your thoughts being amplified into 4,000 watts, okay? We're talking like serious amplification here, and it really doesn't hurt at all. And to pick up the phone, just dial 632-6901 and have your thoughts be broadcast on the radio.
Okay, we've got one so far. Let's get some more in there. Now, something else to think about going along those lines. Now, when you, if you're pausing and thinking maybe I shouldn't do this, when you talk on the radio, unlike when you talk in real life or when you talk on the phone, your voice goes through what they call frequency modulation or something crazy like that, and the signal goes out. But unlike AM radio, which bounces up and down off the clouds, FM radio goes in a straight line. What does that mean? It means it keeps going. It keeps going. After it hits all the people around here, it just keeps going into outer space forever.
It's very true.
So if you want to be immortalized, if you want your voice to be in distant galaxies someday, long after the very memory of any of us is gone...
And there's someone there that has a radio that receives 90.1 megahertz, then they will be able to hear your voice centuries, light years from now, days from now, who really knows?
It's an infinite universe with infinite possibilities. So the odds of some strange creature somewhere sitting around with an FM radio tuned to 90.1 FM, well, I don't even know if it keeps the frequency after it goes into outer space. It might not.
Right.
It might just be on a regular,
right.
I don't know, in the sky or something. They will hear you.
Let's say, for example, it's actually true, and you do die and go to the heavens.
Uh-huh.
Then if it's infinite, you can go out that far then and hear yourself.
That's right.
From today.
That's right. You can. Think of the joy that will be in your life when you can suddenly wake up when you get up to heaven or something and say, wow, I can go somewhere and hear myself however many years ago that was.
When I was a useless sinner.
On Earth. On the good old planet Earth.
There you go. So that's 632-6901.
We're still stuck in one phone call there.
Give your thoughts. Give.
Give
and
generously.
It doesn't cost you anything.
It doesn't cost you. We're not asking for money, but we are asking you to give.
Give your thoughts to us and to all of those on this planet.
God bless you.
Thank you very much. But, we're serious, even though it may not seem that way.
No, we are very serious. We're always serious here. One thing we're serious about right now is the heat and the humidity. It's,
maybe a lot of people are nervous. They're like, oh, no, I don't know what to say and stuff like that. But it's okay. Eric is
we don't know what to say either.
Right. It's just a matter of keeping your mouth moving while I'm thinking about what I'm going to say probably 5 seconds before I say it.
Uh-huh. That's right. And you can go to bed tonight and say, I did something today. I spoke on the airwaves. The infinite... We lost the call.
We
lost the call with that one. Okay, well...
Nope.
We tried, you know? Oh, we got two calls.
Got two.
Let's go for one more. Come on, Bill. Let's give it all we got.
We just need one more person
to
call. 632-6901, and you'll be able to discuss your tiny little brain thoughts there that are swirling around in your head.
Let's not insult our listeners.
Well, I mean only in an electronics term I'm thinking here.
Some of our listeners have huge brains. We know that.
That's very true. Well, you just think about all these thoughts that are swirling around in your head, and then you open your mouth and they spill out, and just spill them into a phone, and we will broadcast them through the air. That's the best part about it. Isn't this all cable radio BS? You know, they do have cable radio in Florida.
Oh,
it's amazing. But this is free, babe, the way broadcasting was meant to be.
632-6901. And all you have to do is make the call. You don't have to give anything. You don't have to say anything, even. You can just make the call, and we'll shut up and go to the phones.
And there it is.
There we go. We got the other call. Thank you very much, Bill. You'll be on in a few minutes.
You people are beautiful, and I love every one of you.
And so do I. I'm implying that I don't. I just don't say it like that. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, how you doing? This is John again from Northport.
Oh, boy. How you doing?
All right. Hey, I heard no rebuttals about the cocaine thing, man. What happened?
Well, I think people are just thinking about it now. I think you've probably started quite a few discussions around the dinner table long after dinner is over, of course, but people sometimes go back to the table to talk. And maybe next week we'll have some replies and rebuttals.
Hey, and I want to say one thing, too, about the maniacs from Fort Salonga.
Yeah, what do you think about them?
They're crazy.
Well, you know what they say about Fort Salongonians, or whatever they call them.
I don't know what the hell they are, man. But I tell you what, they're too close to me.
Yeah, well, perhaps the two of you could link up and discuss it further.
I don't want to link up with them. I'm a little bit too old for them people, man.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, they are crazy.
Okay, thanks for calling. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Hello? Is anyone there? We've got the sign language person again. Well, you know... Oh, it's feedback. I'm talking through the radio. Wow, they're holding the phone up to the radio, and I'm talking through the radio. Isn't this amazing? This is electronic feedback going over phones and radios and all kinds of other things. Wow. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to transfer you to Neverland.
Hello, this is the phone mail system. You may now release the call or hang up.
The call has been released, and the people are now floating into weightlessness on their telephone. That'll be the last time they ever try that. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah.
Yo.
You know, everybody calls. Sammy Jensen called before?
He called before, and I think he might call again.
Yeah. Well, Sammy Jensen called, and another guy called. He thought it was Sammy Jensen, but I know it ain't Sammy Jensen because I know they got two...
Yeah, you're talking too fast.
Oh, I know the other guy. I know the other guy you're talking to. That's Ray Walton.
Uh-huh.
Not Walton, like the actor.
Well, you know, the good thing about being on the radio is you can say whoever you are. You know, you can say whatever you want. You can say you're anybody, even if you're not that person. Who are you?
I can say anyone.
Uh-huh.
Anybody I want.
Okay.
You sure?
What?
Anybody I want to be, I can be.
You can be anyone you want. Tell me who you are.
George Washington.
I don't believe you. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello, Eric.
Hi.
Just one thing before we go tonight.
Well, I think you'll have the last word because we are running out of time. Go ahead.
Just a quick word. I've been listening for quite a while now, quite a couple of shows, and you seem to be an extremely intelligent person.
Well, you know, I like to think so, but then again, others like to think not. But go ahead.
I'm getting serious here for a second.
Okay.
Okay?
Just for a second. Go ahead.
I know, but what I'd like to see is you have a show in which you know, all these slightly crazy people don't call up.
Uh-huh.
And you can get down to some real topics. I think there's people out there that really want to talk. I know there was that one kid from, I don't know where he was from, but whatever, that need to talk or would like to talk about serious things, and we don't need people, you know, making up names and stuff like that.
Well, now, the thing is, I don't know if you listened a few weeks ago, we were talking about censorship, and we had quite a few calls there. We've been talking about Jesse Jackson and racism and all kinds of things over the weeks. We seem to have, sometimes we have very serious shows, sometimes we have silly shows.
Most off-the-wall shows that
I've ever. Well, I think, you know, both serve a purpose here, I think due to the heat and humidity and other misery of everybody over the last few weeks, we need to be kind of zany, you know. But we will be talking about serious things in the future, I can promise you that, as long as things come up in the news, you know, we always cover them. We did quite a few shows in the West Bank and all kinds of nasty things like that. And we get people from all over the place that call up and say interesting things.
Well, we'll have to blame it on the weather then. Okay.
Yeah, they might as well blame it on something.
Yeah, you know? Okay. Got it.
Okay.
I'm kind of scapegoat. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. Well, that is it for tonight. Brain Damage has run its course. But we'll be back next week with more stuff to talk about. And you're welcome to give us a call then. But for now, stay tuned for the brothers as they come up for a couple hours of lobotomy. And, of course, we've got heavy metal coming up after that. And all kinds of other fun things. So stay right where you are at WUSB, Stony Brook, Long Island's first station of the 90s. Democratic convention coming up this week. USB will be covering it. And all kinds of other fun things happening. So keep your dial over on the left-hand side of whatever you use to tune your radio dial. We'll be back again next week, 10 to 12, Brain Damage. Eric Corley saying goodnight until then. And have a good week. Stay away from the beaches. Bathtubs are safer.
hands on the cross. The lunatic is on the cross. Remembering the game, daisy chains and locks. Got to keep the lunatic on the cross. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more.
WUSB Standard.